I want to talk on a subject that I hope don't affect too many of us here, but it's something that we've got to be on the guard against continually, and that's pride. And a couple of definitions of pride is can either be conceit or arrogance. And I think that we've seen this among people that we've come in contact with from time to time. I want to read a little bit out of 1 Nephi, the third chapter, beginning with the 93rd verse. This is at the time that Nephi was having a vision, and he was seeing what his father had seen also. And we all know the story of the rod of iron that he saw that led to a tree that had fruit that was desirable above all the fruit in the world. And as they partook of this fruit, many of them partook of it and then fell away. And we know that there was a great body of water and that there was a great building beyond it. And this is where I want to read a couple of verses. And it came to pass that I saw and bear record that the great and spacious building was the pride of the world. And it fell, and the fall thereof was exceeding great. And the angel of the Lord spake unto me again, saying, thus shall be the destruction of all nations, kindreds, tongues, and people that shall fight against the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Now these people didn't need to be in this state. They didn't need to fall away. They didn't need to be lifted up into pride, but they were. And this shall be one of the causes for the downfall of all the people that fall in the world. And basically we know that most nations as a whole are going to fall. Now not all the people will, but the nations of themselves will. I want to go over here to Mark and read a few verses. Beginning in the 7th chapter and beginning with the 20th verse. And this is Christ speaking, and he said, that which cometh out of a man, that defileth a man. From within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, and murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things cometh from within to defile the man. Now in these verses here could be an entire sermon. But we know that which cometh out of a man is that which defileth him. Now they listed the heart, and it's hard to separate your heart and your brain. We know that the brain causes a man to think, but we know also that the heart gives life unto the brain. If it wasn't for it, it wouldn't exist. And at that time, those people, many of them, believed that the heart, because they could feel it beating, was the source of your powers and so on, and your thinking and everything. But we do know that from within a person, this is where the things that come to defile a man. We know that a person can be hurt or destroyed physically, but if he doesn't turn away from the ways of the Lord, he's going to be saved. But again, we know people that act pretty good on the outside, but but their thoughts are evil. And again, they're being deceived from within. But notice where they put this pride. With blasphemy and foolishness. Now, I wonder what they meant by foolishness. It would be something that wasn't necessary, wouldn't it? But apparently a person should avoid these things also. Thefts. Now we see this happening all the time around us. We read about it in the paper. And covetousness. And we do know people that covet other people's property. And wickedness. And deceit. Very possibly this is one of them that it probably affects many of the people of the world at anything there is. That they attempt to deceive someone else. And all of these other things, they come from within. But pride, I'm going to read on a few more verses in some other places that will pretty well show that most of these things come about because of pride. Now this doesn't mean that you shouldn't take pride in taking care of yourself and in being a neat and a comely people. And it doesn't mean that you shouldn't take care of your property and so on. But there's entirely two different types of pride. But if you are lifted up in pride, in the pride of your heart, then this is a very sad affair. I want to go back over into, I'll read in 1 John first. In 1 John in the second chapter, I want to read the 15th through 17th verse. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now this just tells us quite a bit, doesn't it? Now we shouldn't lust. And we shouldn't be lifted up in pride. For it says, it is not of the Father, but of the world. And these, in the 17th verse there, tells us, the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Now that's a long time again, isn't it? We see this phrase every once in a while. It's mentioned eternity and forever. Most of us can't even comprehend what they're talking about. Most of us can tell, I can pretty well tell what about 45 or 46, 47 years would be because I can remember about that far back. Maybe a little longer than that even. And some can remember a bit further back than that. But when we talk about 1,000 years, it's like the millennium, most of us can't even imagine that. Can any of us imagine living 1,000 years? But here it says, abideth forever. And what have we got to do to be able to do that? We can't be lifted up in pride, can we? Now, if we think of it a little bit, we know that pride causes probably as much trouble in the world as anything there is. Someone wants something that somebody else has, or they want to have more than somebody else has. I know that it's been probably 10 years ago, when a person that was making $20,000 was considered quite well off. As far as I'm concerned, they still are. But a person, they told us that a person that was making $20,000 a year was one of the poorest credit risks of an individual class of any other class. Now, you couldn't hardly believe that 10 years ago. That'd be like $30,000 now, I suppose. But could you believe that people that would be in the $30,000 a year class would be as poor credit risk as anyone? And the reason for that is that those people at that time in $20,000 a year class, if they wanted to move up to where they could notice it, they would have to move up to $40,000. So they would have to borrow money and live far beyond their means to try to keep up with everyone else that they wanted to associate with. Consequently, their credit was very poor. They were borrowing more money than they could afford, and they couldn't pay it back. And why would anyone do this? It was because they were lifted up in pride. They wanted to live like the Joneses or someone else. I want to go back into the Book of Mormon. In 4th Nephi, on page 682. I want to read the 5th and 6th verse to begin with. Now this would have been a wonderful time. And there were great and marvelous works wrought by the disciples of Jesus, insomuch that they did heal the sick and raise the dead. Now this is something that most of us can't even imagine, can we? They was able to raise the dead. They caused the lame to walk, and the blind to receive their sight, and the deaf to hear. Now we know that when Christ was here on this earth, that he caused these things to happen. That they brought their sick and their lame to him, and he healed them. But here, it was the disciples that was doing this. And all manner of miracles did they work among the children of men. And in nothing did they work miracles, save it was in the name of Jesus. Now this would have been quite a glorious time, wouldn't it? Reading the fifth verse up here tells the time it was, and it came to pass that 37 years had passed away also, and there still continued to be peace in the land. 37 years. Now I want to go over here a little farther in the same chapter. Well, we'll drop down here to the 13th verse to begin with. And they did walk no more after the performances and the ordinances of the law of Moses, but they did walk after the commandments which they had received from the Lord and their God, continuing in fasting and prayer and in meeting together oft, both to pray and to hear the word of the Lord. Now these were some things that they took joy in, wasn't it? They met together oft that they might hear the word of the Lord, and they might fast and pray. Now people that have had experiences with the Lord have been directed by him and have been, you might say, led from time to time. These are joyous times, and they would be for anyone that sought after these ways. But this was a whole nation that was able to do this. Now I want to go over to the 17th and 18th verse. And it came to pass that there were no contentions in all the land, because the love of God which did dwell in the hearts of the people. Now this is why there was no contention, because of the love of God which is in the hearts of the people. Now what would one of the love of God be? Well, it would be charity, wouldn't it? This would be it. This was the type of people that they had. They weren't lifted up under pride. And there was no envying, and no strife, and no tumult, and no whoredoms, no lying, and no murders, nor any manner of lasciviousness. Now we read over here in Mark where these things existed, didn't we? But where did they come from? They came out of the hearts of men. This is what defiled the people, was this type of thing. But here at this time, there was none of these amongst them. There was no murders, nor any manner of lasciviousness. This would be wickedness, wouldn't it? There was no wickedness. Can we imagine a place where that we could go, you wouldn't need any locks on the houses, nor the cars, all you needed is a switch to turn them on and drive them when you needed them? Now we have to lock them up and protect ourselves continually, and all of our property. They wouldn't have to do this. And this was because they had the love of God in their hearts. Let's go over here a few more verses, over into the 27th verse. And now in the 201st year, there began to be among the people them who were lifted up in pride, such as the wearing of costly apparel, and all manner of pearls, and of fine things of the world. Now, I don't believe it's wicked for a person to have decent clothing. And we know that probably most men ought to have a suit and a sports coat or two. But this doesn't mean that they ought to pay $400 or $500 for them. Now, we can get by for less than that. But here they were lifted up in pride, such as wearing costly apparel. Now, there's nothing against wearing decent clothing, but this is costly apparel. Now, if we get carried away with some of these things, then it's not right. And from that time forth, they did have their goods and their substances no more common among them, and they began to be divided into classes, and they began to build churches unto themselves. Now, this is one of the first things that happens, isn't it, when they start falling away. They start making churches. What are these churches going to do for them? They're going to tell them what they want to hear. The churches that they're building, it says, to get gain, and they began to deny the true church of Christ. And it came to pass that when 210 years had passed away, there were many churches in the land, and they were many churches which professed to know Christ, yet they did deny the more part of his gospel, insomuch that they did receive all manner of wickedness, and did administer that which was sacred unto them whom it had been forbidden because of unworthiness. And the church, and this church did multiply exceedingly because of the iniquity and because of the power of Satan, who did get hold upon their hearts. And again, there was another church which denied the Christ, and they did persecute the true church of Christ because of their humility and their belief in Christ, and they did despised them because of the many miracles which was wrought among them. Now, you might say the church of the devil was established there. In fact, there was many churches, but this that stood against the church of Christ was angry with these people because of the miracles was wrought amongst them. They didn't like that. And they themselves had turned away from the true church and the true gospel of Christ, and this was the reason of their problems. I want to go over here into Mormon in the 4th chapter, and on page 708. Now here, as he was speaking to these people, said, "Behold, I speak unto you as if you were present, and ye are not. But behold, Jesus Christ has shown you unto me, and I know your doings." This man had been told what they were doing, and it had been made known to him by Christ. "And I know that ye do walk in the pride of your hearts, and there are none, save a few only, who do not lift themselves up into pride, in the pride of their hearts, unto the wearing of fine apparel, and envy, and strife, and malice, and persecutions, and all manner of iniquity. Now he's writing to these people and telling them this, that he knows what's happening. There's only a few of the people that aren't lifted up in this pride. And your churches, yea, every one have become polluted because of the pride of your hearts. Now, have we ever seen a place that we thought might have been lifted up with pride? The people had possibly tried to make a show place out of it? Now, I don't believe there's anything wrong with building a decent building and having a place to meet. But again, the same way with the suit. You don't need to get carried away. For behold, ye do love money, and your substance, and your fine apparel, and adorning of your churches, more than ye love the poor and the needy, the sick and the afflicted. O ye Colossians, ye hypocrites, ye teachers, who sell yourselves for that which will canker, why have ye polluted the holy church of God? Why are ye ashamed to take upon you the name of Christ? Now we find people that even go to churches. But many of them, when they're away from the church, they don't say much about it, and they don't admit it very often. They go there for a show, and when they're away from it, they forget about it. Why do you not think that greater is the value of an endless happiness than the misery which never dies because of the praise of the world? Now this is something that's really hard to understand, isn't it? A lot of people will turn to the things of the world to be approved of by the people around about them. And why would they do this when this will bring you endless misery? For if you turn to the ways of the Lord and seek after that which is right, you're going to have endless happiness. And this is something that a person cannot understand. Why do you adorn yourselves with that which hath no life, and ye suffer the hungry and the needy and the naked and the sick and the afflicted to pass by you and notice them not? And how many places have we seen this happen? One of the greatest examples, I think, probably, is in the oil-rich countries. I've seen old pictures in magazines and newsreels and so on of these countries over there, where some of these leaders, the Shahs of Arabia or something like this, one of them actually had ordered a sterling silver Rolls Royce. The body was to be made of sterling silver, and it said even the price of that shocked him when he got it. But nevertheless, he had one made. But his people were destitute. The people around about him in his country were starving. They had meager flocks to try to survive on, and most of those people were actually living on a starvation diet. And he couldn't find enough ways to squander his money. And how could they pass by these afflicted people and not notice them? I don't know. But the pride of their hearts has made them a stiff-necked people. I want to go back over here into 3 Nephi in the third chapter, beginning with the 10th verse. On page 618. But it came to pass that in the 29th year there began to be some disputings among the people. Well, they hadn't had too much of this, But here in the 29th year, it began again. And some were lifted up in pride and boasting because of their exceeding great riches. Now, how many times have we seen this happen? And again, oftentimes when we see people doing this, they may not have as much as we think they've got. But they try to put on a great show. This would not only make them lift them up in pride, but it'd also make them hypocrites, wouldn't it? Yea, even unto the great unto great persecutions, for there were many merchants in the land, and many lawyers, and many officers. And the people began to be distinguished by ranks according to their riches and their chances for learning. Yea, some were ignorant because of their poverty, and others did receive great learning because of their riches. Some were lifted up in pride, and others exceeding humble, and did return, and some did return railing for railing, while others received railing and persecutions of all manner of afflictions, and would not turn and revile again, but were humble and patient before God. Now here we see two definite and different types of people. Some that persecuted and some that received persecution. And thus there become a great inequity in all the land, insomuch that the church began to be broken up. Yea, insomuch that in the 30th year the church was broken up in all the land, save it were among a few of the Lamanites who were converted unto the faith. Now this is a few of the people that had been converted, that generally speaking were wicked people. These wicked people were the only ones that remained faithful. And they would not depart from it. They wouldn't depart from the faith. For they were firm and steadfast and immovable, willing with all diligence to keep the commandments of God. But go back to that 11th verse. And some were lifted up in pride and boasting because of their exceeding great riches, yea, even unto great persecutions. For there were many merchants in the land, and many lawyers, and many officers. Now, history does have a way of repeating itself, doesn't it? Does that kind of sound like, if we were to read this verse, could we even imagine it being today? It sounds just about like things today, doesn't it? Many lawyers and many officers and many merchants. I want to go back over here to the previous page and read a couple of verses, 5 and 6. And they began again to prosper and wax great. And the 26th and 7th years passed away, and there was great order in the land. And they had formed their laws according to equity and justice. And now there was nothing in all the land to hinder them, the people, from prospering continually, except they should fall into transgression. Now, in this short time of 2 years, it was changed. Can you imagine that? Here they had formed their laws according to equity and justice, and there was nothing from keeping them from prospering. And they did prosper. It might have been 2 or 3 years in the whole thing. But then, by this time, about 3 years later, they began to have many officers and many lawyers in the land. And this all came about because of pride. And the people were lifted up into pride. All except a few. I want to go back into Alma now, the 29th chapter, in the 56th verse. This is on page 539. And this again shows how people have Come unto the Lord and fall away, and come unto the Lord and fall away. And we know that throughout history, that one of the reasons that this happens is because people become prosperous. It's an awful thing to say, but people that are poor in worldly goods are usually more God-fearing. And we know that in the time of war, the people turn to the Lord, or in time of hardship of any kind. And this is a thing that when people have got things going good and they're prosperous, that they fall away from the Lord. And it came to pass that they did establish again the church of God throughout all the land. Yea, and regulations were made concerning the law, and their judges and their chief judges were chosen, and the people of Nephi began to prosper again in the land, and began to multiply, and to wax exceeding strong in the land, and they began to grow rich, notwithstanding their riches, or their strength, or their prosperity. Now this is one of the rare cases they were not lifted up in pride, in the pride of their eyes. Neither were they slow to remember the Lord their God, but they did humble themselves exceedingly before him. Now this is one time that the people for a time didn't forget the Lord. Yea, they did remember how great a thing the Lord had done for them. Now how could a person fail to remember this, I wonder? If we had some of the blessings, and some of the blessings we have from time to time, I don't think that I can forget them, and I don't think you can either. Yea, they did remember how great a thing the Lord had done for them, that he had delivered them from death, and from bonds, and from prison, and from all manner of afflictions. And he had delivered them from the hands of their enemies. And they did pray unto the Lord their God continually, insomuch that the Lord did bless them according to his word, so that they did wax strong and prosper in the land. Now he has promised this to any people, or group of people, that will really follow after him and keep his commandments, that they're going to be blessed. But it seems like, as they do become blessed, in a short while they will fall away. I want to go over here into Moroni for a few verses. In the 8th chapter, and this is it would be hard to believe that this was the same group of people a few years later. I want to begin in the 8th chapter with the 30th verse. And he wrote to his son, this is what he had to say. Behold, my son, I will write you again if I go not out against the Lamanites. Now, the Nephites had been blessed many times, and they had fallen away here, and they had went against the Lamanites, and the Lamanites against the Nephites to battle. And we know that if we continue to read this story, that the Lamanites destroyed the Nephites. Behold, the pride of this nation, or the people of the Nephites, has proven their destruction, except they should repent. Now this is, and we know that it did happen. Here is a man standing there, he's writing his son a letter and telling him what's going to happen. And we know that eventually that all of the Nephites, or well, I think there were possibly a few that went over and joined the Lamanites, and maybe a few that we don't have a record of just what happened, but it would be just in a handful of people. Out of possibly millions of people, all of them were killed except maybe a few that deserted and went to the enemy, and a few that we know that one of them carried the book, this book, and laid it up, that we might have the record of it. And the only way that these people could have been saved was by to repent. And the reason said, behold, the pride of this nation and the people of the Nephites have proven their destruction. And he goes ahead, pray for them, my son, that repentance may come unto them. But behold, I fear lest the Spirit hath ceased striving with them. The Spirit has ceased to strive. And can you imagine what condition a group of people would be in when the Spirit of the Lord ceased to strive with them? It would be pretty sad, wouldn't it? And in this part of the land, they are also seeking to put down the power and the authority which cometh from God. And they are denying the Holy Ghost. And after rejecting so great a knowledge, now these people were knowledgeable of the gospel and they knew what it meant. And yet they had turned completely away from it. He says, after rejecting so great a knowledge, my son, they must perish soon unto the fulfilling of the prophecies which were spoken by the prophets, as well as the words of our Savior himself. Now, those people didn't need to have this happen to them. And we've read several times from the wind, both ways. And always the thing that started their downfall was pride. And then all the rest of these things will enter in. And as soon as they begin to enter in and the devil sees that he has a little bit of hold upon you, he's going to use that like a flaxen cord, and it's not going to be long until he's got you bound with those chains. And here it was said that if they would repent, they wouldn't be destroyed. But they weren't about to repent. And as we look round about it, in this time, it's a little different than it was then. One thing about any great destruction probably that will come upon us now will take in most of the world. For then, it took in the people on this continent, and they destroyed each other down to one, you might say, one group of people. But in one way or another, this could happen to us today. Whether it be on this greater scale or how it might be, I don't know. But I do know that a person himself has got to be sure that he doesn't fall, that he isn't lifted up in pride, and that he might not fall himself. And by doing this himself, he is bound to lift some people up and keep others from falling also. So we've got a great duty to perform. We've got to strive continually that we are not lifted up in pride ourselves. And we've got to do our best to see that those around about us don't fall into this same trap. Because each one of us has a duty, I think, to the people around about us, and especially to each other, that we might strengthen each other, that we may not fall away from the gospel. And by associating with one another and discussing the scripture and encouraging one another, we can keep this from happening. And I would ask in interest in your prayers for each one of us that we might strive to encourage each other, that we might be found faithful in that last day.